Jennifer.
Good morning, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. We're back post-Glee Season 2 to continue the conversation about the show that alternately drives us all crazy and fills us all with joy. You can find us online at gleefulpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter, Gleeful Podcast. And if you'd like to weigh in anything we say tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. Jennifer.
Joshua.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
All right. And Ed over there, you just woke up. So welcome to the land of the living.
Oh, it is.
Or the week.
It is pretty early in the night. Like, this is like prime sleeping hours for Ed.
Normal people?
for Ed. Yeah, it's crazy. At first, when you were introducing the show, I thought you were going to say post-apocalyptic, post-rapture Glee. But you didn't. But that was what I was like, really? That'd be sweet.
This is our first post-rapture Gleeful. That's definitely true.
Glad you're all left behind with us. A la sinners.
I said that, like, everyone's like, no one laughed. I was like, well, that's because we're all, no one's pure.
So, Ed, is this, I mean, your new sleep schedule, is this due to, like, work and effort? Or is it just you've been, you know, just a sucker for those Twilight movies? And you're thinking, screw the sun.
No. It just naturally happens when your class is at 8 a.m., and I'm not a morning person, but I can be a really, really, really late night person. So essentially, I make my nighttime the 8 a.m. till 11 a.m. that the class happens.
Okay, so to all listeners and people in the living room, prepare to feel very old. Oh, college. Yeah, good times. Well, welcome. You know, Ed, you'd wanted to discuss the. You had wanted to discuss the last three episodes of the season and kind of take a look back at how season two wrapped up. So that's what we're going to do tonight.
I think we need a better sense of how it ended before we could see the. Before we can have a better sense of the bigger picture.
And we'll definitely in the coming weeks, we'll definitely do kind of a larger recap on season two. I think next week we're also going to want to talk about pretty specifically about the Glee project, because that is actually starting on the 12th. So we've got lots of exciting stuff to come on there. And, you know, just a preview of the months ahead where we don't have Glee to talk about, or at least new episodes of Glee to talk about. We'll definitely want to take a look back, of course, at the season. Some of our favorite episodes. I think we might want to do like an awards show.
Oh, okay.
You know, might be kind of fun, like best character, best new character, you know, kind of go around the group. And we have, of course, Matthew Morrison's new album to discuss, which is out. And new record deals. Supposedly new albums are going to be coming out in the next few months from Naya Rivera.
Are we going to like build awards around not like actual legitimate sounding awards, but we build it around each character. We're like, best Asian female who gets constantly booed off stage goes to
exactly who you would expect.
like it's like such a very specific award, and it's what up, Car?
It's like totally obvious who it would go to.
Well, actually, we do that all the time when we're doing award shows for our conventions. It's sort of like, what studio will bring what person for the least amount of money? Oh, so-and-so? Okay, rising star or something. Yeah, we make the award for the person. So that
you're like, most enthusiastic. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything.
Most willing to come here for no money.
Exactly.
I won most enthusiastic in my class for several years.
I have no doubt.
I remember you gave Rising Star Award to a guy who'd done like two episodes of Desperate Housewives. Anyway,
but he also had something coming out on video, so it was like, yeah, he's rising.
Well, the big official news this week is that Fox made it official that Jane Lynch will be hosting the Emmys this year.
That'll be a lot of fun.
She says, this is, quote, "I am tickled pink to be hosting the primetime Emmys, as opposed to the daytime Emmys, ladies and gentlemen," which no one wants to host that. She says, "I'm looking forward to singing, dancing, and sporting my finest tracksuit." which is kind of like, I think that's how Ellen DeGeneres answers questions as well. She says she did a pick up Best Supporting Actress last year, so it'll be kind of funny to see that return. John Schaffner, the chairman of the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, says, "When our host has comedic, dramatic, and musical talents, as Jane proved in last year's opening number, we know it's going to be fun for us and for the audience at home." So that might actually get me to watch that stupid show. So that would be cool.
Well, I get you to watch some of the categories some of the time, or at least I pause them so you can rewatch.
Now, as an Emmy fanatic, no. As an Emmy viewer,
connoisseur,
you always watch all the award shows.
I don't watch all of them, but yes, I do watch a bunch.
What do you think? How do you think Jane Lynch will make an appearance? Not everybody can host these award shows.
Not everybody can.
Though they think they can.
Not everybody can, but I think the thing with Jane is that she's not just a comedian and she's not just an actress. But, I mean, think about where she had, started out most of her films, like doing the guest movies, Christopher Guest movies.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a lot of improv there. So I think she's going to do really, really great.
And
she has the ability to just kind of go with it.
Ed, do you watch award shows?
I watch my share of Grammys, VMAs, and stuff like that. And I watched the Oscars this year only because my friend really wanted to watch it. But I don't know.
It wasn't a good show this year. I'm sorry. Go back and watch the Hugh Jackman one. He was awesome.
Oh, no, I thought the Oscars was pretty good. I mean, I love Anne Hathaway, so.
It was I'm
going to see some of that comment. Yeah. Hold on.
I mean, okay. I guess I should. I don't know why you're hating. I mean, she was legit. I mean, I was entertained at least mildly.
Sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze, so I took out my headphones. I was not hating at all. Was not. I'm just saying this year's Oscars telecast was not as good as some of the years past. Specifically, Hugh Jackman was incredible. So I thought Anne was great. I thought she was adorable. A lot of fun.
True.
Sorry. Not hating. Promise.
I thought their videos were cute. Like when they did that big long stream of like somehow connecting all the movies,
montages,
even though it didn't really make any sense.
Yeah.
With Brown Goose.
Well, we also got this story off of Perez Hilton today. So who knows?
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, I did see this a couple other places, but Perez Hilton was the one that was the first link I stumbled onto. But essentially, according to sources in the shows in Glee's casting department, the producers are looking for two newbie ladies to join the cast for season 3. The first is only described as, quote, beautiful and someone who can sing all kinds of music. Go ahead.
Because we don't have that already.
Yeah. and then the second... Is that just a general casting? Like, wouldn't you always be casting for that, just in case you find the right person?
I was looking at artists who are both up and coming and somewhat established, like, with the type of songs that they want songwriters to be writing for them, and it's like... It's seriously, every single one is like, I want a breakout hit song, and that's like that's the description. I'm like, that's like, what does that mean?
That's
like
what everybody strives for.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they're like some were more specific. Like they would prefer something in the vein of Jordan Sparks or Leona Lewis or something more in the vein of Lady Gaga. But then other, but seriously, 80% of them was like, I just want a breakout hit song. I'm like, okay.
Well, you know, it's like actresses or actors who always say, you know, no matter what the question is, the goal is always, I want to be respected for my art, because of all those actors that just say like, oh, I want to be, you know, paid for my boobs. Like, no, everyone has the same answer to that question.
Well, some people should just recognize their utility and go with it. Like, stop kidding yourself.
Well, the casting says the first was only described as beautiful and someone who can sing all kinds of music, but the second was described as Adele meets Susan Boyle. Which, that's dangerously close to like
British. Is British a part of this?
So I'm not really sure what that means. I mean, that sounds like fan fiction to me. I don't know.
See, to me, it's like, so they want someone who's soulful, yet ugly, yet pretty enough, but likable. Like, what do you want?
I don't know. And they sing opera in a jazzy style. I'm not really entirely sure what that means. Essentially, the lady has to be 18 years old but look like they're in high school. I'm not entirely sure what that means, because
18 year olds are in high school.
I guess.
Well, I don't know. 18, based on how ages are in the show, if you were 18 compared to some of the other people, you'd probably be cast perfectly for middle school on Glee.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Monteith is 29.
Yeah, I know. He's definitely the oldest.
Oh, and happy belated
show.
Birthdays. And I hope the Canucks lose to the Bruins. So. And we're done.
And we're done. Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to this. This came out, this came out a little while ago. But here's a bit of a preview from the upcoming Glee project.
Do you ever feel like a plastic bag drifting through the wind, wanting to start again?
Do you ever feel this so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in?
Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens, but no one seems to hear a thing?
Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you?
You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine.
Just on the night, like the 4th of July.
'Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you're worth. Make them go oh, 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 as you shoot across the sky.
So this is the Glee Project's preview song, I suppose. All the members of the show are on it, and this is, of course, the reality show where they are going to pick a winner who will be a character on Glee. They're an extremely white cast. There's a couple of them that I honestly strike me that they would have to play teachers on the show. But interesting to see how it turns out. Ed, have you seen this video?
Yes, I have.
And what was your, how did you feel about it?
It felt, they felt like Disney characters, and because, any emotion I got from them was very, flat, and it's like, this is their personality, and like, as instant, I was kind of like, okay, calm down. Calm down, Mr. Jason Castro wannabe. Put down your guitar.
Oh, totally. They definitely seem to be, or at least the video seems to be preferring that dude with no shirt on and the hoodie who has braces. He gets more screen time than anybody. And the producers have said many times that if a black person, or if a black man were to win, black male were to win the Glee Project, then they would be used as a boyfriend for Mercedes.
She's
but
got a boyfriend.
That's a good point. That has changed.
And he's white, so.
And there's only one black male on the Glee Project, and I don't know. He seems a little more like he'd prefer Kurt the way he moves. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how the Glee Project shakes out.
Yeah, definitely.
They said that before they picked their cast, so I really wouldn't hold them to their word. Like, right now, they say they're going to give this character a seven episode story arc. I don't even know if that's going to be true at this point.
It'll be interesting to see.
Like big deal they made about her.
Yeah, exactly. We had made such a big... And Cord. Like
pretty much if it's someone that they don't really like, they're like, competition. And if it's somebody like, they're like, oh, you could be on our team.
I mean, at the end of the day, the Glee Project is nothing more than a way to kill time between Glee seasons and a very cheap way to do it. So, you know, they get points for that. Listener Molly says it feels like a group song on Elimination Night of Idol.
If only they were that good. But yeah, it's definitely, I think you're right, Ed. I couldn't identify it when I first saw it, but it's totally Disney-fied. And it's absolutely, it's like, okay, redheadish, cute girl, check. Brunette, hot girl, check. Cute, spunky girl, check. Hot, earthy, maybe dangerous guy, check. Bad boy, you know, check.
What's even...
They went through and they were just like, okay, every type of... just a breakdown of everybody.
Well, I honestly think that can only be the intent, because at the end of that video, they go through where they flip through the pages of a yearbook, and they actually have names under them. Like, each guy is like the class clown, the,
bad
you know,
boy,
most likely to be a physics or a personal trainer.
Well, I suppose that they're essentially, the 12 of them are essentially pitching the type of character that they would be if they won the show and then were on Glee. Like, this is the type of character I would fill.
Yeah.
This would be, because there's gaps in Gleeverse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things we love about this show, is that, you know, you can find a place for any type of character that you want. There's always a place for, you know, there's always a way to work in just about any personality into the Glee Club. I mean, that's one of the great strengths of it. But yeah, it's interesting how, you know, they would never say on Idol, though we all know, or any reality show, really.
Yeah.
They'd never say it, but we all know that there's the rocker and the, you know...
The for some reason necessary black chick, despite underperforming everyone at Wild Card Round, Ashton Jones,
Okay. Yeah. But it'd be interesting, because it seems like, at least in this preview, they're calling it out and they're being very blunt about, you know, you're not like, are you voting for a person or are you voting for the character you want on the show?
Well, when I did my interview, are we voting? I don't even know if we're voting.
I don't think they know either. It seems like they're still kind of working. I mean, I'm sure they know now. But yeah, that premieres on June 12th, so keep an eye out for that. I guess that's next Sunday? Week from Sunday?
Yes.
So that's going to be the Glee Project. Mm-hmm. We'll definitely discuss that in the coming weeks. And maybe next week we'll take a look at each of the individual contestants and kind of see see how they go. So, yeah, so Ed,
you know what? Yes, right before you go into that, you know what musical show that has piqued my interest for this summer? Because, you know, we kind of need things to fill our lives now that everything is pretty much off. So I was watching, I'm kind of a fan of Platinum Hit, so I recommend it. It seems fun.
What channel is that on?
That's Bravo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kara DioGuardi, yes, I always liked her as a judge.
And
she seems so much more legit, because on Idol she wasn't able to give the criticism that she wanted to. So it ended up being such small little bits. But she said, when I was watching an interview with her, and she said that for some people when reviewing their songs, she spent literally a half an hour talking to them. Of course, when it actually got edited down, it got edited down to like 5 seconds. But you could tell that she's more comfortable and that the contestant is getting more from actual comments.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's cool.
So I enjoy it. And, you know,
I mean, she doesn't have to compete to be somebody else in this. Now it's her own show and she can be herself.
Yeah, she's not the new Paula.
She was always sort of trying to, you know, blend into that mix that obviously there was no room for. So,
yeah.
Well, that's cool. When did it start?
It just started last week.
Okay.
Monday or Sunday.
It.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Oh,
there you go. There you go. Platinum Hit on Hulu. Or Bravo if you're, you know, old school.
Who watches TV live?
I know. Who watches TV?
So we got this question a lot. So let's go ahead and discuss this real quick.
Hi, GleeCo Podcast. This is Yinka from Dallas, Texas. I wanted y'all's opinion on maybe Glee having a summertime episode or a special, kind of like what they did in season one. Maybe this could bring some of the, I guess, magic back that is Glee. I missed a lot of the magic this season. Maybe this summertime episode, if they do it, if they don't, could have some of the relationships that happen to blossom on the season finale, kind of like Brittany and Santana and Sam and Mercedes, and maybe even a little bit of Finn and Rachel.
So we actually got that question a lot of places, people saying, you know, do you think they'll do something for the summer, I guess, other than the Glee project, and kind of asking that question both as, do you think there'll be a special in the summer, or do you think next season will be the summer, which would be odd to watch in December. But it brings up an interesting issue. How do you think Beyond the Glee project, the show, is going to fill the empty space? I know personally, I don't think they will. I mean, honestly, I think they've got the tour is going to fill up a lot of time. I think that, you know, we'll probably just get the usual reruns. Maybe they'll have director's cuts or you know, commentary episodes like they used to do with Lost. I don't know. Ed, what do you think?
I just don't see it being even feasible, them doing a summer episode, not only because of their ridiculous schedules, but that this is the only time these kids have to do these other projects that they are being offered, and they
and they're all being offered.
So I see Heather Morris like everywhere. I'm like, what up, Heather?
Oh, I know.
Women's Health Magazine, nice.
Well, and I mean, these kids on the tour have been tweeting like crazy. Every 20 minutes, there's a new tweet of them making you want their lives.
And then plus the Glee 3D movies coming out. It's just like, no.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of people mentioned that in the chat. And I think you're right, Ed. I think the Glee 3D movie is what they're doing to hold us over till the new year. I mean, they're all going to go make a dozen movies and do that type of stuff. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get some director's cuts as well. Like, I've read that there were 20 minutes cut from the season finale.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Which explains
what
I suspected.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. So there's no doubt. I think we're going to get a lot of that stuff. But as far as, like, a standalone Glee movie in the summer, I think we'll probably have to just hold ourselves over with more novelizations and comic books and such, like, well, they do with everything,
like,
else.
Honestly, it would almost be like a bad thing if they gave us just one episode, because we complain about narrative flow, and that's not gonna work doing it that way. So,
well, last week we weren't able to listen to too many people's reactions from the finale. And I think it was kind of hard to discuss the finale even ourselves, because I know Jennifer and I had just finished watching it. So we were so, like, still emotionally affected. We didn't have that time to really formulate our thoughts.
Or lack of emotionally affected.
Yeah, exactly. But we did get a couple listeners. This is one from Los Angeles.
Hey, Josh, Jen, and Ed, it's Rainbow from Los Angeles. I just had a couple things to say about the finale. First of all, I thought it was going to be a 90-minute episode, so when it started, I pressed pause, and I realized it was only an hour. But then I pressed info, and it said part one of two. But I think it was just for the previous show, so as I was watching, I was thinking, okay, this is just the first part. Wow, this is so good. So when Vocal Adrenaline started and their song was slow, I was like, oh, this is great. Okay, so the next episode will probably be the more up-tempo songs. And, you know, and so then when New Directions started singing and they did both tempos, I'm like, uh-oh, maybe this is the only show. And then I was so pissed off. And then the other thing I had to say, and I don't know if any of you guys have an opinion on this, but why can't Mr. Shu do Broadway as well as come back and be the teacher? Like, why can't he do both? It'd be so great to have some scenario of them watching him on Broadway or him having a funny thing. It just seems so sad. He was like, I just give up. The guy was like, you're special. And he's like, nope. And there was no insight to why he turned that down. And that's the end. I love you guys so much. You make it so much more fun watching the show to relive it later. Thanks. Bye.
So first of all, listener Rainbow, that is per capita the most words ever included in a 1 minute and 8 second message. Huge props for that. I have the.
I know Rainbow. Awesome. We're like Facebook friend legit.
Oh, Rainbow. That's awesome. But yeah, I it was so funny because I think we all had that feeling coming out of that finale was that it was a 90-minute episode, right. You know? And it's just so, it's hilarious to think that if you didn't know, I mean, watching television today is so funny because, like you said, Jennifer, you knew they weren't going to make the top 10 because you just had to look at the clock and right. See, oh, there's only 5 minutes left. So they're obviously not going to make the top 10.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you were unsure of what the length was going to be, you could be even more confused when everything went down.
Yeah, and her other point about why can't Mr. Shu do Broadway over the summer and then come back? And oh, I guess...
Guys, hang on, sorry. Turn that. Okay, go ahead. Why can't Mr. Shu do Broadway over the summer?
Yeah, and I just... I mean, that thought had crossed my mind, and I just assumed... Maybe he was afraid he would be so good that he would, you know, have so many job offers he'd never be able to come back or something. I don't know. It was weird because it did cross my mind. And, I mean, I think, but then now thinking about it, like, maybe part of it is that he doesn't feel like he could give it up afterwards. I mean, he loves the Glee kids and he's very devoted to them. But if he gets on the stage and then, you know, gets the, you know, true theater bug, he might never be able to leave.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't do anything again, he may never be able to stop pursuing that.
But I think that would be a more interesting plot line than just
giving up.
Yeah, it just seemed so
selfless.
It didn't even seem selfless to me. It honestly seemed afraid to me. Mm-hmm. Like if he really, you know, if he was really courageous, it seemed like he would take a shot and try to have it all. Like that's what great, you know, men do, is they try to have it all, and then when they fail, it makes great television. So, I thought it was a total, it felt like a cop-out.
Yeah, well, everything about that last episode kind of did.
Yeah. We also had this message. This is possibly the, I'm even going to have to bleep out a word. This is possibly the funniest message we've ever gotten.
How can they do that? They go all the way to Nationals, and then they're handed this load of horse. Why in the world is up with the people at Nationals? Oh, my God. Why can't the writers just give them a freaking break, please? And I noticed something that most people probably won't notice, or they may, I don't know, that the background for the Nationals was the same background they had. I forgot if it was sectionals or regionals for last season. The last episode of the last season has the same exact background.
Oh, wow.
Same exact one. They reused everything else. Same props, same everything right there. But how can they do that? What is wrong with the writers? Oh, my God. Oh, I gotta get that done.
So,
that's
you didn't even give his name. I don't even
that's
know who
awesome.
That is. I think I'm going to guess that it's listener Josh from Kentucky. So that was
exasperated just listener.
Exasperated listener. Well, I know, Ed, you'd wanted to discuss the last three episodes of the season, and we'll take a look at how season two ended. But before we do that, let's take a quick listen to a song from our last episode, since we didn't get to listen to all of them last week. We got a couple of requests for this one. And this is, of course, For Good from Wicked. By Lea Michele and Chris Colfer. Here you go.
Just look at me. I'm limited. And just look at you. You can do all I couldn't do. Glinda. So now it's up to you. For both of us. Now it's up to you.
I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led. to those who help us most grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew.
It was funny watching this number in the show because I could just see theater geeks dying from every time they edited lyrics and had to shorten up the intros, and it was very distracting. It was very distracting to watch. But anyway, so, you know, we had three episodes and they were, I don't know, they had some ups and downs, you know, prom, funeral, and New York. And Ed, what about them really wanted you to get back to those episodes rather than take a look at the season as a whole?
The finale felt incomplete, but I was wondering that hopefully that somehow in these three episodes there was enough of stuff that happened between the three of them that a finale, like a legitimate finale, could be drawn from it, I suppose. It was more curiosity than, like, actual plan.
Well, you make an interesting point, Drink, because there was a lot of stuff kind of tied up. It seemed like between Funeral and New York, it was kind of a part one and part two finale, because Funeral tied up a bunch of stuff, and then the sense I got is that the show kind of wanted Funeral to tie everything up, and then to New York, for New York to just kind of deal with Finn and Rachel. And I don't think anyone wanted that, but that's kind of the sense I got, because by the end of Funeral, you know, Will's going to New York and he was going to give it a shot and come back, and it was a great kind of season ending cliffhanger, but he was kind of made up with Emma and they'd made peace with it, so that was kind of tidy, and Kurt and Blaine were chummy and it didn't really matter if they won or lost, they were still going to be happy. You know, Sam Sadie's had kind of happened or started to happen. And so, yeah, and then when we got to New York, it seemed like, okay, the only thing that we don't have some kind of a resolution on is Finn and Rachel. And so we just kind of get, you know, the end of the season, button up nationals, we all knew they weren't going to win, and we just get to learn about Finn and Rachel. But then that isn't really what happened, because we had all these other random things kind of come up with Will deciding not to go to Broadway and random dramas along the way, Patti LuPone showing up randomly. So I think you make an interesting point, Ed, about, you know, maybe we should look at these episodes more as a group as opposed to stand alone.
Well, you make my logic sound so much better than I was just like, the finale wasn't good enough. Maybe it's in between the three of them.
Well, but it does feel like, I don't know, as much as I say that, I do think that the finale was kind of just, was what it was. You know, it was an unfinished story. It got cut way down and, you know, it wasn't able to really find its stride. I don't know. Jennifer, do you have any opinion on these last three episodes and how they closed out the season?
Yeah, I just, you know, to go along with what you guys are saying, it is, you know, three episodes that I think that had such potential to do something, but they all fell very short of doing anything for me. And I would love to kind of, you know, like you said, you know, maybe mash it up, maybe edit it down to one episode and maybe get a complete satisfying conclusion to the season, but I'm not really seeing how that can be done. There's so many more things. I mean, the whole thing, you know, there was so many promises of more drama and more craziness from Quinn. And all we got was a haircut, which is adorable.
Not dramatic at all.
Not dramatic at all. I mean, if it were a bad haircut and she was upset, okay, that's cool. But no, everything about it was just so, there was so much apathy, I think, at the end of this.
Yeah.
That it really, like, looking back, I'm kind of upset. I mean, last week watching it, I was like, oh, you know, it was fun. And, you know, in the moment, it was great. Some good music. And, you know, I know they can't do everything they want to do. And It was just too much, or too little, I should say.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Ed, do you think that there was a better finale out there that we just didn't get to see? Like, maybe this 20 minutes will make it all make sense, or did we just get let down?
Without question, those 20 minutes will make it better. I don't know if it'll make it. I don't know if it's going to be like this end all toaster / dishwashing unit, but I don't know. I'm just
a toaster.
If you had a toaster / dishwashing unit, that'd be pretty epic. There was on American Dad. They were like, we renovated our kitchen and we put, and there's it's a dishwasher, so we put our dishes away dirty and we take them out clean. I'm like, oh, that would be epic. But there could have been something they did, but I feel like what I really like about the show Weeds is that it's always willing to go, to just follow where the story is going. It's not complacent in the same environment all the time, and Glee is kind of complacent in the same environment. The writers of Glee really just kind of want this love triangle, Finchel Quinn thing, just kind of to keep happening with Jesse in there, and they're so complacent with it, and it seems like they have no desire to shake it up. Not to say that they don't have an end result, but they have no desire to like take the show to that next level where the show is begging to go.
Yeah.
Instead, they would rather just like sit and marinate in the same scenarios.
And I mean, okay, fine. So they go back to the same source, but they're not doing anything that makes it interesting or makes any of us care
anymore.
Well,
that's because it's complacent. It's complacent. Yeah. That's the problem.
I thought you meant they were complacent in their lack of inspiration for finding new, new relationships and so forth.
I think they're complacent with the fact that they're completely fine with having these same people in the same scenarios over and over again.
Right, but they're not doing anything like interesting to it. I think, you know, it could have been more exciting if, you know, Jesse fought back or Quinn fought back or Puck fought, you know what I mean? Like something like that. It could have been, I would have been okay. And I know, and again, I didn't have a problem with Finn choosing Rachel at the end. It was just everybody else just being like, all right.
Yeah. Well,
and
we
Lisa,
had a-
meh. Okay.
We had a listener who sent an email. I can't find it right now, but they made a really good point that this season really didn't have an antagonist. I mean, Sue was toned way down.
She backed off a lot.
Vocal Adrenaline was barely ever there. And, you know, and Quinn wasn't, like, bitchy Quinn was never quite as evil as she ever
Terry,
was before.
There was no Terry, there was no Sandra, there was nobody. There was, like, yeah. At one point, Emma was the enemy, and... Here's a hint. Emma isn't that threatening.
Well, and so I think in the end what
she's too
happened,
cute and
I think in the end what happened is that, and even with like Karofsky, he never
he was so flat in the beginning, so that didn't make a dynamic enemy. And then he went from flat to very almost sort of likable that he completely negated any enemy-ness that he actually had. And I've been rewatching old Big Brothers because I'm excited for the new season, and you know, what makes a great hero a great villain. More that without a great villain, you have no great hero.
Exactly. I mean, we keep saying that Finn wasn't stepping up and being a leader, or I keep saying Finn wasn't stepping up and being a leader this season, but the times that he did, it really seemed almost unnecessary. Like the threats weren't that great. And, you know, like Karofsky, as soon as Karofsky started to become a real threat, Kurt just left and went to Dalton. Mm-hmm. So we never actually got to see them, you know, have to like suffer together. And Karofsky was almost too real of a threat, the way Sue was a fun threat. And we knew that she could shut down the Glee Club, but we still loved her for it. Yeah. And when Sue could say anything she wanted, and we would be like, that's so evil, I love it. But Karofsky was a genuinely, like, scary
troubled
situation. Yeah, yeah, a genuinely troubled situation. And so we never really got to have any of that great melodrama, any of that great, you know, battle that we got from the first season. And yeah, another thing you said, Ed, is really true. The biggest frustration we have is that there is so much potential here. We do still love these characters. We do still love the world in which they live and the numbers and the songs. And you know, that all of the ingredients that made Glee season one are still present. They're just not, you know, exploding the way that they used to. You know, it's so frustrating.
Without an enemy, the hero's rants just seem hollow. You need that force. I don't know. Like, Terry wasn't bad enough. Quinn wasn't even evil enough. Santana, at her evilest, wasn't evil enough. These people just are too gosh darn likable.
Yeah, she was probably the closest to a real enemy, and who knows of what. I mean, she's
like, okay, what is so she the enemy curious, of, but she's of totally Lebanese dedicated. People, of bureaucratic cats?
Lima Heights?
No.
Adjacent?
Yeah, I mean, they shut down Sue, right? They shut down the Cheerios. They lose. And rather than, like, Sue coming out and just destroying the Glee Club, like, giving everything to destroying the Glee Club, she caves again and again and again.
Yeah.
Episode after episode, she's constantly caving and being nice to them.
We literally had a League of Doom, and they just fail voted all over the place. In fact, it was because of the three of them that they were as successful as they were.
Although, you know what? I wonder if there wasn't some internal conflict about preaching against bullying and then having somebody like Sue, who was the ultimate uber bully. Maybe that's why they felt they had to tone it down.
Yeah, they got caught up in their own PSAs.
I think maybe? What really happened with Sue was that I can't even read the text message. It's just, that's the most frustrating part, because my screen is white all the time. But the problem with Sue is that every time in season one that Will and Glee Club got an inch, they kept taking an inch, and they kept getting more and more. And then once it got to a certain point, Sue couldn't go back without seeming disingenuous.
Yeah.
Because, like, at the beginning, it was like, oh, okay, this is believable, and then she kept giving more and more slack to the Glee Club. She wasn't really pushing to get them out. She wasn't, like, handing the set list away strong enough. She wasn't bribing the judges enough.
Well, she did become the judge of, or the coach of Oral Intensity.
But then she didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're like, Jesus is a friend of mine. It was just such a joke.
Well,
it wasn't the threats.
Yeah, I mean, somebody, Michael David, just pointed out, you know, the League of Doom lasted 40 minutes. Yeah. It never came up again. Her being the coach of Oral Intensity was like a one-line joke and then went away. So, yeah, it really felt, you know, and then other characters we got that might have turned evil, like Beast. I remember when Beast came in, we were like, Beast could save this show.
Yeah,
totally gone.
She was awesome.
So, I mean, yeah, what do you guys think? Like, what kind of a villain do we want? You know, I think that a lot of people in the chat room right now are saying a new principal could totally be, like, that new villain. You know, get rid of Figgins. He gets fired for whatever reason. Like, seems like a nice dude. But, you know, he bring in, like, a crazy new principal. Or
Neil
maybe
Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris could get, that would be hilarious.
Because that's what I would believe that. Like, I mean, Sue just, you know, just for no reason hating Will doesn't really count, but
that Neil Patrick Harris.
You know what the issue is that I have is that this season they promise us a character who could compete with Rachel vocally, and then it was supposedly Charisse, and yeah, we had like little hints of that episode one of the season, and that's it. So, like, that's what, if they can't mix it up in terms of major casting, they should be able to mix it up in terms of adding a person who we could believe genuinely is legitimate competition for Rachel, that occasionally beats Rachel at her own game. As great as Mercedes and Santana is, one's lacking X Factor and the other one's lacking the complete vocal abilities that Rachel has. So you have boring and not as technically there. And those two are the biggest threats in terms of female singers. And in terms of male singers, there's really no competition. Because if you listen to, like, if Finn is not competition. He's, like, auto-tuned more than anyone. Puck is too in a wheelhouse. Artie isn't commercial enough. And then you have Blaine, who actually, when you take him into the live context, isn't that fantastic. So you need to show Rachel that she's not the best, and Jesse St. James isn't enough because they're too much together. So
I mean, as you were going through all of that, I'm thinking, why are they doing a reality show to bring in another person?
Someone needs to be strong enough and step up, or at least edit it in a way that makes me believe that they're legitimate competition for Rachel. Because when it comes down to it, yeah, Rachel should be the one singing the song at every competition if they want to win, because she's the best singer,
right?
For one reason or another, and that's just it.
Well,
as much as we love someone else for different quirky reasons, or Mercedes is actually potentially a better vocalist. She legitimately lacks the X Factor. There's a reason why when she auditioned for American Idol, she didn't get taken. It isn't because she didn't sing well. It's because she's kind of boring.
Well, I mean, if watching that that video of the Glee project, I don't think there's a person there who's going to be that, you know.
I know, that's the person they need. Like, they can find someone. They can get it. They can make it happen.
I disagree with you, though, Ed. I think that the Glee Club, first season Glee Club, what was great about it and why Jesse St. James or Sue were, in my opinion, great foils for the Glee Club is because they split the Glee Club in half. You know, Sue would come in and she would control her minions that were within the Glee Club, as well as drawing the school against the Glee Club. And Jesse St. James doing the same thing. He took Rachel and said, you don't have to support them. You don't have to carry them. You're the great one. And what that forced the Glee Club to do is it forced them to come together. And the whole theme of that first season was family and unity and acceptance and belonging. Yeah. And it forced the Glee Club to come together as a unit because Sue was trying to break them up and stop them. And Jesse was trying to tear them apart. I mean, all of the guest stars in the first season, that was essentially what their task was, to come in and tear apart the Glee Club. But to have someone come into the Glee Club, it just becomes more infighting and more, you know, it's deluding. Just them feeding on each other, which I think is kind of what all of this season was. I mean, Charisse coming in and just kind of, yeah, diluting the message and just kind of pulling everybody apart. And it wasn't The end result of this season wasn't forcing the Glee Club to come together to, like, you know, defeat a common foe. Like, we're powerful if we accept and love and work as a team. The end result of this season was kind of like, you know, everyone high-fiving and taking this last episode.
Without true strife, this show becomes a little more than High School Musical.
Oh, without a doubt. And that's why I'm saying that I just think that the true strife should come externally, because I feel this season is what happens when they just feed on each other. And I want to see, you know, something external to come on and try to tear them apart. I mean, it could be something as simple as, you know, like Rachel has to choose between, Rachel gets cast in a Broadway show and she has to choose between the Glee Club and New York. I mean, it doesn't have to be a character, but I think it has to be something that forces them to, you know, take sides.
Right now, I'm thinking that maybe the gym slot is the new Defense Against the Dark Arts slot.
the gym teacher? Or the coach? The football coach?
Yeah, like maybe that's probably the easiest way to bring someone in without hurting anyone.
No, they have to bring her back.
Yeah, Beast was awesome.
She was
love
awesome
Beast.
So many levels. She was just
But
so
but as
good.
long as as long as As long as it changes every year, it's okay.
Well, listener Molly made a great point in the chat here. She said, I think the writers, producers were trying to please everyone this season instead of doing what they want. And I think that's
you can't write to please.
Well, I agree with you, but that's, yes. I think that's kind of.
If you were to please, you're going to come up with something flat and no one's going to really be happy. I honestly, it would be better to be angry. I would rather have someone be angry at me than be apathetic.
Well, let's, before we tie this up, we're running out of time here, but before we tie this up and we'll listen to a little Bella Notte, let's go ahead and take a listen. This is from the last episode. Of course, it was performed by all the guys as they helped, bring together, or at least attempt to bring together, Finn and Rachel, and it did not turn out. Of course, from Lady and the Tramp on Gleeful Podcast. When we come back, I'm going to ask Jennifer and Ed, since we've talked a lot about the things that didn't work this season, let's at least have one thing before we go. What did work this season? And we'll ask that in the chat room as well. Here's Bella Notte on the Gleeful Podcast.
On this lovely Bella Notte, side by side with your loved one, you'll find enchantment here. The night will weave its magic spell when the one you love is near. Oh, this is the night, and the heavens are right on this lovely Bella Notte.
That's Bella Notte on the Gleeful Podcast. I'm going to start with Ed. Ed, we got some crap last week for only saying what was bad about the finale. So give me something that worked for you this season.
The reason I'm so harsh, and I'm sure Josh and Jen are the same, is that we love the show and know it has so much potential, and that's why we're harsh. It's like if it was just some stranger, you wouldn't be like, if they were doing something wrong, you wouldn't really tell them. You'd be like, oh, they're fine. No, but with your friend, you'd be like, no, this is what you're doing wrong, and this is what you need to improve on. So Glee is my friend. Like, I love Glee. And I know it could be better because it is better than what it's delivering, and that's why I'm harsh, because I love you.
I think we all agree with you. You know, as far as for me, I think season two will be remembered as the Darren Criss season, for better or worse. And I think in the end, mostly better, because I think the show needed to give Kurt a friend, and needed to make that statement of a young teenage functional gay relationship that wasn't on MTV's child pornography shows.
And
I think that, you know, he brought a new vocal style to the show as well. Having the a cappella numbers in the show was a great mix to the vocal palette of the show. So I would say that by far the thing that we will take away from season two is the addition of Darren Criss and Blaine and the Warblers. For all the things that they did take away, I think that the net result was a positive. Jennifer, do you have one favorite or one thing that worked?
I'm going to say, for me, it was the season of the Cheerios sidekicks taking over. I'm going to say, you know, Santana and Brittany just being absolutely amazing. Just loving their storylines, loving, you know, everything that they addressed, their performances and so forth. You know, Santana being, you know, totally badass, but then also, you know, showing her vulnerable side, and Brittany actually proving to be a little bit more smart and perceptive than we ever expected.
She really became a character this year. They both did. Brittany and Santana really both became characters this season. Again, for better or worse, but I think in the long run it'll be for better.
Right. I mean, the only reason I would possibly look at that as a somewhat negative is that it just takes time away from the characters that we all fell in love with in the first season. But, you know, they're still there, and maybe they can all come back together as one cohesive equal family in season three.
It's funny because as we're having this conversation, I'm really starting to reach back and I'm thinking that, like, you know, as much bad as we've said, we did get that Rocky Horror episode, which was fantastic. We did get that Christmas episode that was amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got the Thriller, you know, game performance. So there were, of course, there were great moments. I mean,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Don't ever forget that stuff. Ed, you mentioned, you talked a little bit more about why we are the way we are. But before we go, do you want to mention one thing that did work for you unequivocally in season two?
Unequivocally, that's a nice tune C word. I'm trying to. I mean, there. Sorry. I feel so terrible because my first reaction was Santana, Brittany, or Blaine. So I'm like, well, okay, well, thanks. Thank you to you both.
The perils somehow of going last.
So somehow I was asked to go first, and I'm the one stuck with I want to see the original songs, but I can't stand 100% behind that.
But Loser Like Me was great.
It was yeah. Okay.
And Trouty Mouth, okay. Come on.
Trouty Mouth.
Trouty Mouth was fierce.
What
death.
About Holly Holiday?
Holly
Holiday was pretty awesome. And she serves a very good purpose. You know, I can say that for the entire season, the guest stars did not detract away from the characters, but pushed them in new and exciting ways.
There you go.
So the guest stars.
Well done, Ed.
Good guest stars in season two. Definitely. Definitely. Well, before we go, we're going to take a quick listen to Yeah. I'm just going to play it in the background. We'll go out on it because, you know, it wasn't actually performed. I guess it was performed for about 30 seconds on the show, on the finale. Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes, I would like to thank Malibu Music Lover and Anna Bellisley and Michael Bullock. So there you go. Thank you for reviewing us on iTunes.
Yes, Ed. Thank you. And definitely keep doing that. I want to thank everybody who's joining us in the chat. I think I've mentioned everyone at this point.
I feel so terrible because I didn't even enter the chat. So I don't. Hi, people. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I love you.
we had a small group tonight, and yet it was still 25 people. So how cool is that?
Thanks,
yes,
everybody.
I can't mention everybody, but let's see. In the last couple seconds, Irish Mike... Mole Keeper, Melanie, Tatinos, Genshu, 17, Marty, 186. All of you guys are fantastic for joining us. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can check out the website, which is gleefulpodcast.com. On Twitter, we are at gleefulpodcast. If you'd like to buy a shirt. Go to the website.
We have them in stock now.
Yes, sent out a bunch of shirts. They were awesome. Ed, did you get yours?
Yes, I did. I haven't actually worn it yet, but I was showing it off to people. I was like, look, the t-shirt came out. And they're like,
oh. We all have to take pictures of ourselves and put them on the site.
We will definitely do that. Go to the website. I've been putting up a lot of... I've been writing some articles about the show, and there's been some videos, so that'll be a fun way to fill the off season. And we'll be back next week to discuss more. And thank you, everyone, for joining the show for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh Annanette. I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
I'm Ed. Have a nice night.
Wow.
Good night.
That was so proper.
I'm so tired. Like, collectively, in 4 days, I've had about 12 hours.
Ed, you were awesome tonight. Yes. You rallied better than I ever could, so I'm very impressed.
It was a vocal adrenaline infused.
But I'm bummed.
It's just saying, you know, hey, I can't shine down everywhere tonight. So, just everybody,
so have a good evening.
Do your own shining. Good night, everyone. Next thing I knew, she was all up on me screaming. Watch out, my outfit's ridiculous. In the club, looking so conspicuous. I hated this number.
Well, I had to look at your computer because I was like, what was that?